The hurricane. It's upon us. It's like a Patriot hurricane. As we've been listening all day here and all week since the Patriots have lost two in a row. We'll get into that. Welcome the late night with the rare, typically always Tuesday appearance, it seems, with me, Ben. But we're not going to waste any time. We're not going to dilly-dally and tap dance. There's no Jedi mind tricks here at all. No kind of gymnastics that we will play. Because if you look at the playoffs with 2 weeks to go in the NFL, let's just get right into it, right? And you look at, they always have the playoff picture, which they love to put up on television. I assume you've seen this, right? The hierarchy right now in the AFC has Kansas City as the number one seed, and then right behind them is Houston. So those are the top two seeds. The Patriots, because of their recent play here, have dropped all the way down to number three. But this is, I believe, known as a fluid situation, right? It's a fluid situation. So the Chargers could still end up the number one seed. Like there's a path for the Chargers to end up with the number one seed in the NFL. But as far as the Patriots are concerned, they also have an opportunity to end up, as has been discussed here, if you look at the playoff picture, they have a chance also to sneak back up and get into one of the top two spots. And to do that, they are going to need the Philly special, which certainly did not help them last year in the Super Bowl, but now they need some help because the path here is pretty clear. The Texans close out the year at home against Jacksonville, which they might as well just not even play that game. Let's forfeit that game with Cody Kessler as the quarterback in Jacksonville. That is just a hot mess of a football team. So it's really one game left for the Texans, and that game is in the Delaware Valley this weekend. So does the Nick Foles-led Eagle offense, the guys wearing ski masks on defense, do they end up in the winner's circle? If they do, and I believe there's a good opportunity the Eagles end up winning that game. Now, why is that? Not that I think the Eagles are good. I just don't buy into the Houston Texans. I believe the Houston Texans, the proper term is overrated for the Texans. They're not as good as their record would indicate. Now, I have been preaching about this deep in the bunker of my overnight show over at Fox. I've been ranting and raving and rhapsodizing about the Texans not being as good as their record would indicate. And that game opened a pick'em. Now, the Eagles are a 2-point favorite in that game this weekend, that key game. So it's up to the Eagles now. If they can beat the Texans, a Texans team that was trailing the Jets with 4 minutes left over the weekend on that Saturday special in Jersey. And so I looked at the weather, and it's going to be in the mid-40s at kickoff in Philadelphia. So you're talking about a dome team going into not freezing weather, but it's going to be cold in Philadelphia. So I'm saying there's a chance. Now, either way, it's clear here the Patriots, they have to just take care of business at home. They have to win these last two games. They beat Buffalo, which is terrible. But the one thing Buffalo does do is they run the ball with Josh Allen, and that has been the kryptonite for the Patriots. More on that in a moment. And then you've got the Jets to close out the season. You figure the Jets will be going 1-2-3 Cancun to close out the regular season. So you win those two at home, you end up with 11 wins. Now, people, imagine if the Patriots somehow end up as the number two seed after all of this angst, which has been going on, people are going to be triggered, right? Because that path to 11-5 and in a bye week, well, either the Chargers or Chiefs, based on simple Maller math, and you should never give out too much math, as I often say, because it's radio. There's no photos of this. But if you look at the AFC, the Chargers have the same record as the Patriots. They're going to win the last game against the Broncos. They're likely going to beat the Ravens this weekend. And then you've got Kansas City, who's got Seattle this weekend. Seahawks could certainly win that game because Kansas City, a little shaky right now. But either way, The Chiefs are going to beat the Raiders to close out the year. So there's going to be a team from the AFC West that has 12 wins that is going to end up as a wild card weekend number five seed in the AFC. That is going to happen. Unless there's a mafioso special of these games, some of these games being rigged, that's how that's going to go down. So what I would like to do, a tradition here, which we do from time to time, is to get the pulse of the people. Now, I heard Butch earlier ranting and raving about all things Patriots and all that. I was listening a little bit, and he was going on and on about, you know, he's getting very upset, getting very worked up with people that were complaining about Belichick. I heard a little bit of that about an hour ago or so. So, but what we want to do for this little exercise, with the late night crowd here on WEI, that would be you. We're going to play the Patriot confidence game, which is always fun, unless you don't like things like this, and then it's never fun, right? But let's go into the possibility that the Patriots, who have dropped two in a row and been a miserable road team all year, that Bill Belichick can pull the old proverbial rabbit out of his hat or the hidden playing card up his sleeve here and get the ship turned around, because it's going the wrong direction at a rapid clip here. The defense isn't stopping anybody against the run. Tom Brady's making mistakes. He's feeling people that aren't there in key spots. It's not pretty, right? So the way the Patriots confidence game works, can Bill Belichick do this? What is your belief in that? So we'll phrase it this way. On the Mahler Wheel of Confidence, which is part of the confidence game, we're going to rate your confidence. Now, in Bill Belichick's ability to flip the script here, and something that has not traditionally happened under this almost 20 years of dominance for the Patriots, they've not been able to turn things around. When things go bad and they don't get a number one seed or a number two seed, they're in tough shape. So on a scale of 1 to 5, we'll only do 1 to 5. 1 means you have no confidence at all. You're not confident at all. And 5 would mean you're very confident that the Patriots are fine. The sky is not falling. The doom and gloom, which is being kicked up and talked about, the end of the Patriot run is greatly exaggerated. So on the, again, 1 to 5, I am going to go 3. I'm going 3 on the Mahler Wheel of Confidence, which means, what does that mean? It means somewhat confident, which is a terrible answer, right? You should either be not confident or very confident. You should not be in the middle. Good talk radio host would not be in the middle. Good talk radio host would be the other way. They'd be, I've got no confidence, or I'm very confident, but I'm in the middle. I'm at a 3. I'm at somewhat confident on the wheel of confidence. All right, so I'll go first here. Now, my observations, you've got the abomination, horseshoes and birds, and the Megapod project. All right, we got those three things, and we will link all of this together is what we're going to do. Now, A, on the surface, as we talk here on WEI, on the surface, things are very frightening, right? Tom Brady has shown pocket panic. He has. If you don't believe me, it either means you haven't been watching the game or you're in denial. For whatever reason, of late, he has been feeling ghosts. He's hearing footsteps that are not there. And it would appear, based on the evidence, which is, you know, the clips from the game, just the Pittsburgh game more recently, but also the Miami game, that the internal clock of Tom Brady is off. It's off. And when your internal clock is off, I'll give you an example. When your internal clock is off and you're in your 20s, you know what people say? They say you're in a slump, right? We've all heard that. Like Jared Goff of the Rams. Garbage right now. The last 3 games, he's been terrible. They say, well, he's in a slump, but he'll be okay. Tom Brady, when you're over the age of 40, you're done. That's the way it works. Everyone knows that, right? You know that. I know that. We all know that. That's how we grew up. That's when I went to sports casting class. That's how they taught us in clown college. It's not making all the throws, right? That one throw, which will be the defining moment, the one in the Steeler game where he was looked like he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds, and then it was picked off, and you had Edelman and Gronk who couldn't get to the ball. Now, I was listening to the morning show the other day, and I think it was on the Monday, and with Mutt and Callahan, and Jerry was like, hey, I think he wasn't trying to throw it out of bounds. Like, he thought he was trying to throw it up for Gronk and Edelman. I didn't see it that way. It looked like he was trying to throw it out of bounds, but he couldn't get enough gusto on the throw. But that's going to be one of those defining moments. If this does not have a plot twist here, that's going to be one of those defining moments. Now, Brady, if you look at the numbers, he's been right in the middle of the bell curve, which is generally not where he's been. I'm talking about late game situations, pressure situations. They have a stat for everything. They literally have a stat for everything, and it's all available, thank God, on the interweb. You can get every single stat you want. And as we know from the fun with stats, and I know this better than most, you can it's like a ball of silly putty, these stats. You can mutilate it and twist it. It's wonderful to fit any kind of position. Like if you're the anti-Brady camp, you think that this is the sign. There's been a... It's like at the Vatican, right? There's some white smoke that's come up to signal that there's a decision's been made. It's not a good decision here for Brady. But he's 18th in quarterback rating in the fourth quarter. And the numbers on third down, the conversion rate of third down is below average. Below average for Brady. And that's not even the biggest part of the problem. Like, the Patriots could be fine if they just had average Tom. But they have to have great defense, and the defense has fallen apart at stopping the run. It's been an abomination trying to stop the run. This has tormented the Patriots in many of their most pathetic performances. It has been a direct result or a line you can draw between the run defense and the Patriots losing. Now, if you look at the numbers, the Patriots are tied with the Rams and Chiefs dead last in the most important run category, and that is yards allowed per rush. They're dead last. The Patriots, New England, L.A., the Rams, and Kansas City are allowing an average of 5 yards per carry. So all of this is very un-Belichickian. It's all un-Belichickian. And it has been even worse lately. The last 3 weeks, now the numbers are skewed a little bit, but the last 3 weeks, the Patriots have allowed 7.6 yards per carry. Like in the passing game, if you get 7 yards per pass, that's an acceptable number in the NFL. Teams are running for over 7.5 yards per carry on average against the Patriots the last 3 weeks. And I guess we're being told here this is the worst three-game stretch in the history of the Patriots, and there were some brutal teams back in the old days before the modern era of Patriots, before the renaissance of the Patriots. They were garbage, and this is the worst. It's the fourth worst since the merger. You talk about a football obscenity, the Patriots trying to stop the run. Now, part B of this, as we talk on Sports Radio WEI here, Late Night with Me, Ben. Hey, it is not all doom and gloom. And I can't go all doom and gloom because I'm only at a 3. We're using the Mahler wheel of confidence. I'm only at a 3, which means I'm somewhat confident. So if you're somewhat confident, why would you be confident? All right, when you peel back the curtain here, I'll give you some optimism. See, I'm not just a negative talk show. So I've been tagged as a negative guy. I'm not. I am not always negative. Although I do think the glass is half full and cracked, or half empty rather, and cracked. But the Patriots, if you look at their home record, they've been a dominant force at home. They've been the same old Pats at home. Right? 6-0, they've got legit wins. They beat Kansas City. The Texans, although I think Texans are overrated, but they beat the Colts, who are fighting it out, could be a playoff team. And the Patriots are winning by an average of almost 2 touchdowns in Foxborough. Their average scoring margin is plus 13.8, which is the second greatest number for a team at home in the NFL this season. Only Kansas City has been better at Arrowhead. So the Patriots have been fine at home. Last season, they got to the Super Bowl. Their scoring margin was not anywhere close to what it's been. We're talking about a 5-point swing almost between the Patriots at home last year and the Patriots at home this year as far as them bludgeoning opponents. So in that category, they've been spectacular. And while there is no defense for losing to a morbid Jacksonville team and a Lions team that stinks, and the Titans who are hanging around but not really a good team, they're an average team, the Tennessee Titans, the way they did. The Patriots also did score 38 points against the vaunted Chicago Bears defense, which is being propped up as one of the all-time great defenses. It's not. And they did that at Soldier Field. So that is, I think, a confidence booster. And plus, you've got past success, which does not clearly help this year. But if you're really looking for comps, if you're one of those people that's looking for comps, trying to find a reason for optimism, you got to think about horseshoes and birds. All right? Let me give you the example here, because this is going to come up. Now, this is going to come up here. Now, it's the old flip the switch mode in the NFL. Now, usually this does not happen. Typically, that is something that happens in baseball where it's random. It's a spin of the roulette wheel in baseball. It's like throwing darts, right? It's a random occurrence what happens in the baseball playoffs. Not so much in the NBA, not so much in the NFL. It's usually the top seeds end up going on and winning. And typically, they play well to close out the season. Right? You don't normally flip the switch, but there are examples. For instance, the 2012 Ravens. The 2012 Ravens, remember, they finished 10-6 that year. You probably don't. They lost 4 of their last 5 regular season games. They fired their offensive coordinator in that stretch. And then Joe Flacco had an out-of-body experience, some of that against the Patriots, and carried Baltimore's water all the way to the Super Bowl, and they beat the 49ers when the lights went out. Remember that, the lights going out in the Super Bowl? Was that a rigged deal? How about the 2006 Colts? There's another example. The 2006 Colts, they went 12-4 during the regular season, which is a great record, but they lost 3 of their final 5 games, including, and I remember this because I might or might not have done back in the old days a Maller monologue at the other place about this. But in that particular season, the Patriots, it was week 14, or the Colts rather, week 14 of that year, they lost the game by, I think it was close to 30 points. They got beat down by Jacksonville. And in that game, they gave up almost 400 yards rushing, that Colts team. They were terrible. They couldn't stop that combo. Back in those days, Jacksonville had Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor. And the Colts were helpless. Right, and I did this whole big manifesto writing off the Colts because they could not stop the run. That Indianapolis team finished dead last at giving. They gave up 5.2 yards per rushing attempt in the 2006 season. And guess what? They then beat the Chiefs. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Bears, and they won the Super Bowl that year. Now to be completely fair, these are what's known as the exception to the rule. They are outliers, right? Those are anomalies. Normally, if you lose 3 out of your last 5 or you can't stop the run, you make a quick exit stage right. That's according to the numbers, right? The research says outside of, happy hour, smoking some really good weed or something like that, you're gonna lose early on. You're not gonna even make the playoffs, right? You're not gonna make the playoffs. So those are anomalies, is what they are. But if you're looking for optimism, that's the path the Patriots are likely gonna have to travel down, even though they've got 2 gimmies, right? To show up, make sure the bus arrives on time, and make sure everyone's in the locker room. You're gonna win. And so there's not a lot of venomous snakes, spiders, and frogs you have to worry about when you're going against the Bills and the Jets. You don't have to travel and all that. You're not going to necessarily need a machete here to chop this down. All right, last point. We'll take some calls on this coming up. I'll give out the numbers in a minute. Bridget is standing by, anxiously awaiting, unless she's not talking to you. But here's the last point. Now, Bill Belichick is supposed to be what? He's supposed to be a defensive genius. That's his tag, right? He is the defensive dynamo and all that. And that's what the popular people like to say about Belichick. And so I'll use one of his own phrases here. One of his catchphrases from previous years. What did Belichick say? Do your job. So this is an opportunity. This could be another notch on Belichick's resume, his Hall of Fame resume, his modern-day Lombardi resume, blah, 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 blah. Right? Highest-paid coach in the NFL. Patriots have already been written off for dead by many, right? This is an opportunity. Belichick has to find a way to hide the weaknesses, mainly on the run defense, right? Well, Brady's a different animal, but the run defense. Now, I have a theory. Right? It's going to blow you away. My theory is going to blow you away. Right? You ready for that? Here's the best way to not worry about the inability to contain the run. Play from ahead. Be a front runner, right? Be a front runner. Build the lead up, right? That's easier said than done. But if you're playing from the lead, what's going to happen? Teams are not going to run. You go up and you score early and you build the lead up, teams become pass crazy. It happens. You know that. Now, outside of that, Bill Belichick has to find a way to get what has become a god-awful collection on the defensive front to recalibrate here. And this is, by football standards, with only a couple weeks to go, this is a mega project, right? The old clock is ticking, and it's like those movies with the sands of time going down here. And it's and you point the finger and you say, Malcolm Brown, that's on you. The guys up front. And also the linebacking core, Kyle Van Noy and Hightower and these guys have to do a better job collectively. Now what about the wild card possibility here? Now, what about the wild card possibility that if you look at what has been different for the Patriots in recent weeks, one of the moves they made, they decided to bench Danny Shelton. Is it time to revisit that? Now, I don't know how compelling this is to talk about. Do you really care about Danny Shelton? It was one of the moves they made in the offseason, which was supposed to work out well. It hasn't. It's been a failure. He's been a failure. But this is a desperation situation. And when you're in a desperation situation and you had a guy that was supposed to fix your defense and be one of the key pieces to your defense, and now he can't even make the game day roster, but the guys that are playing are terrible. I mean, you might as well go down to the bar and get guys that are just feasting on scotch, whiskey, and bourbon and put one of them in there. Because I don't know if there'll be any different. They wouldn't be any worse than some of these bums that have been playing for the Patriots, their performance. So the fact that Shelton, the guy they got, he's been three consecutive games a healthy scratch. Bizarre. I mean, clearly he's in the doghouse. I don't think you have to be any kind of insider guy to know that Belichick is making sure he's eating some dog food in the doghouse. But you got to let bygones be bygones here and give him a shot. So if Shelton is not the guy, there's no one else. You're not going to go out and get somebody to put him in there and plug him in. It's not a plug-and-play situation here. But imagine how bad Danny Shelton must be where he is not beating out Malcolm Brown in practice. That's a bad look. Right? That is a bad look for this guy, Danny Shelton. But at this point, and you're giving up 7 yards a carry, you're like, hey, we'll toss him out there. Maybe he'll just like lay down and that'll cause problems. Be like a speed bump. I'll have to jump over him. Can't get much worse. Now, on one other footnote here, and we'll give out the number in a sec, The stat that keeps being brought up is it is true. Like the Patriots, New England has never gotten to the Super Bowl without a bye under Bill Belichick. That is also what's known as prologue. And I am a believer that each week is unique, right? Each season is independent of itself. And so let's say the worst case scenario happens for the Patriots, which at this point would be still winning the last two games against the Bills and the Jets, finishing 11-5. Right? So you finish 11-5, and then the Texans win out, and the Patriots are forced to be the number three seed in the AFC. Now, the best case scenario is that the Chargers beat the Ravens, the Colts win out, and then you end up playing. Think about this potential path here. I'm being way too optimistic, but let me lay out the battle plan here. And the Patriots are dominant at home, so they're going to get a home game. They would play under that scenario. If the Ravens are out, it doesn't really matter if it's the Ravens are a one-dimensional team with, but their dimension is running the ball, which is a problem for the Patriots. But let's say it's the Colts. So Colts, Patriots, wild card weekend, the 3 versus the 6 seed in the AFC, that would be the late game. That would be the late game. And the Patriots would be favored in that game. They'd be at home. And then you have to go to the divisional round. So let's say the Texans are the number two seed, where the Patriots, if they win against the Colts, and the Texans were, you know, they don't play because they'd have the bye, the Patriots would then go to take on a paper tiger of a Texans team. You feeling me? You seeing where I'm going with this? That same Texas team, I can't repeat this enough, they were trailing against the Jets, a horrible Jets team with 4 minutes to go. Jets had the lead. Jets had the lead. So let's say the Patriots were to win that game. Certainly plausible, considering that the Texans are not as good as their record indicates. And so then you get to championship weekend in the NFL. And let's say in the divisional round, the Chargers beat the Chiefs. That those teams played each other. Because right now the Chargers are the number 5 seed. I think that'll just flip, right? The Chiefs, Chargers will flip. So let's say the Chargers end up in the AFC title game. Game's in Los Angeles. Foxborough West without bad weather. It's perfect weather conditions in Carson, California. Bam, you're set up. There you go. Just like that. All right, so Ben Maller and you, we are hanging out here as we chat the night away. We will take some phone calls. If you would like to be part here, the lines are open for business. I see some regulars there. I see a few. I think we've smoked out Tom the Terrible. I think this is right in his wheelhouse here. This is right there in his wheelhouse. You can reach us if you want to call in. And the lines are open for business. The number 617-7797. 93.7, that's 617-779-7937. Also, if you want to interact on Twitter, I might even read it on the air. I've been doing a lot of that. That's something I'm known for. At Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. If you don't know how to spell Ben, you should have paid more attention in elementary school. That's a bad job by you. But you can also, the last name's M-A-L-L-E-R. It's just, many people say Mahler. They mispronounce it. They like to say Mahler. And I do know the Pro Bowl rosters were announced. I don't get worked up about that. I don't. But we do have an international audience, so I'm glad to report, because we do have Terry, who is checking in. He is the leader of the UK version of the Maller Militia, and he is doing what he calls the Benny Biathlon, which we appreciate. So we're not doing a shout-out because we don't do shout-outs, but just want you to know there's an international flavor. There you go. All right. Again, 617-779-7937. We'll do some more second guessing. Second guessing. We'll get to that, and we will do it next. We'll play the second guessing game. We'll get to that coming up here in a moment. But right now to the phones, and who better? Who better to sum up the state of affairs here than a man that has been complaining about Bill Belichick? I mean, I've been here doing some late night shows off and on, a couple times a week for this second year doing this. And Tom the Terrible, we must go to Tom the Terrible on line one. Tom, what is going on? You are up first here, the great critic of Bill Belichick. What's up, Tom?
Ben, how you doing? Listen, I'll tell you, I'll give him a 4 because of Tom Brady. He hasn't looked that good because that team stinks. But he might bring them to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady. But they will never win a Super Bowl. Not with this coach.
They've already won a bunch. What are you, Tom? They've already won a bunch.
He has been out coach the last five Super Bowls. The last five of them. He was lucky to win the three. He was out coached so bad, it's incredible. Look what he did when they played the Giants. They should have beat the Giants, but the Giants, without Tom Brady, the Giants would have won by 50 points in each one of them games. Can you imagine a Super Bowl where the other team beat you by 50 points? That's what the Giants would have done to the Patriots if it wasn't for Tom Brady. Yeah. Because Bill Belichick doesn't get his team prepared for the games. I'm telling you. He's a terrible coach.
Well, what do you think he does, Ty? What do you think Belichick's doing during the week?
Does, they're not prepared.
They're not prepared.
The defense is not prepared. Their offensive line is not prepared.
Let me counter that. Let me play devil's advocate, Tom. If you want to rip Belichick, shouldn't you rip the lack of talent on defense? Shouldn't that be where you attack? Like, he's the general manager. He's the de facto. He's been the GM for years. They don't have a lot of talent on defense. The guys they have haven't played very well. This is several years in a row the defense has been substandard. That's more than, like, game preparation. That's the problem. They've got guys that aren't very good that are playing on defense every week, and they're getting smashed.
Ben, he picked them. He picked him.
Well, that's what I'm trying to help you out, Tom. That's what I'm trying to help you out here, Tom, is what I'm trying to do.
Hey, Brady's the only thing they got, really, for years. I mean, the kid's an incredible quarterback. He should have won the Super Bowl last year. I'm telling you, Belichick is...
Well, but Tom, now, wait, Tom, now, yeah, how are you dealing here with Brady looking like he's in the final chapter here? How are you dealing with this?
Not too good, but he stays unnumbered. Let's face it. If he's gone next year and Belichick's still a coach, you'll find out what kind of a coach Belichick is. You'll find out he's a rotten coach. He's a lousy coach. He won't win anything. If it wasn't for Tom Brady, he would have been out of football 15 years ago. I'm telling you. this guy's a lousy coach. I hear people calling the radio and say, what a brilliant coach he is. He's awful. He's not a good coach. He's lucky he has Tom Brady. That's all.
Wait till they rename the Lombardi Trophy the Belichick Trophy. You're really going to lose your marbles at that point. You're going to lose your mind.
He's going to the Hall of Fame, Ben.
Yeah, he is.
Tom Brady. That's the only reason.
I got you. All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thank you,
Be
man.
Good. Bah humbug. Big fan. There you go. Love that guy. Ironically, though, Tom loves everything. Like, he's the most positive guy about the Red Sox when they're bullpen. I remember we talked to Tom last during the baseball season when the bullpen was in decline, right? It wasn't pitching very well. It looked like the Red Sox were in some trouble in the playoffs because they had Chris Sale was hurt and Price hadn't done anything in the playoffs in his career and Porcello and all those guys. And Tom was like, the Red Sox they'll be good. They'll win, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to Bill Belichick, again, I have a theory. Now, he has denied this, but I think somewhere along the lines years ago that maybe like a Dunkin' Donuts or something or somewhere, I don't know where, Belichick and Tom, they met each other and Belichick was like rude to Tom or something like that. I'm convinced something had to happen long ago. It's very bizarre. Very, very bizarre. All right, anyway, then the second guessing thing, and this is a play on the Pro Bowl. I don't know if you heard this or not, but the news came out tonight. The NFL Network, the state-run NFL Network, had the announcement. They had the Pro Bowl rosters were announced, and the second guessing began. Now, I referenced the Patriots defense, the lack of apparent talent on the defense. Now, Stephon Gilmore didn't make the Pro Bowl. He was the only defensive player. There were only two Patriots that made the Pro Bowl, which is not the end-all, be-all barometer. It isn't, but it is an indicator. It's not the final judgment on any of this, but Akeem Hicks, this is what I want to get to. So people are pointing out that Akeem Hicks, who spent some time with the Patriots, got to the Chicago Bears, and he was named to the Pro Bowl, right? He was named to the Pro Bowl, and this is seen as a referendum on the Patriots because unlike some of the other players that had left the Patriots in this last stretch of years where it just became a cost-benefit analysis situation. People were like, hey, I can't pay this guy because he just wants too much money, so he's not worth the money. Well, now it's been a few years, but for one season, Akeem Hicks played for the Patriots in 2015, and the Patriots said, yeah, we're not going to keep him. And that was a guy that Belichick traded for. Right? Akeem Hicks began his career with the Saints. Patriots traded for him, and then they didn't keep him. And he had some big moments there when he played for the Patriots. I mean, if you remember, it's already been almost 4 years now because we're heading into 2019. But back in 2015, he had a defensive touchdown in a game against the Titans. He also, I'm trying to remember here some of the things that stood out because it's everything runs together here. But he wasn't like overly productive. He wasn't overly productive. That was a Patriot team that didn't get to the Super Bowl. In fact, I think he only had, I've got the numbers here now in front of me, he only had 24 tackles in 16 games, which is not good. But so how does that guy who only had 24 tackles in 16 games now with the Chicago Bears, he has morphed into this defensive beast, this monster with the Bears, and he's got, I think he's got 8.5 sacks or something like that. He has some big sack total this year. His numbers across the board have been pretty good. And he's been, ever since he got to the Bears, he's blossomed. He's thrived in Chicago. He didn't necessarily thrive with the Patriots, but why is that? So people are second-guessing that. But Akeem Hicks, the former Patriot named to the Pro Bowl, the way he's played, he would be like manna from heaven if you dropped Akeem Hicks into the Patriots' defense the way that they've been performing this year. Let's go to Bill, who is next. It is Sports Radio WEEI. We are talking all things Patriots here, and we are playing a fun game here. We are pulling out the Maller Wheel of Confidence. Your confidence in Bill Belichick to turn this thing around. 1 to 5. 1 is not confident at all. 5 means very confident. Bill, what say you?
What are you talking about? I'm a 0.
You're at 0. All right.
Bill Belichick? Are you kidding me? He cost us 2 Super Bowls already. No, I'm with the other guy that Tom Cruise called up. He's been one of the worst GMs ever. I mean, you have the best quarterback that's ever played. And you've never put like Peyton Manning, the last time he won the Super Bowl, he had an all-time defense on the field for him, right? When's the last time since 2004? So that's 14 years later, you've never had an all-time defense. Not even close. You've had a bunch of, let's bend our break, and Brady's supposed to win the games for the last 14 years because you haven't even stumbled into Richard Sherman in the 5th round. You haven't never stumbled into a great player in the late round. You haven't had one pass rusher in 14 years. You've never drafted one. So Bill Belichick's drafting is the biggest problem, which you guys never seem to bring up. He's a marginal coach. Yeah, he's good at timeouts when Ernie Adams is talking in his ear and stuff. But let's face it, he's been a terrible GM. Let's face it.
All right. You're repeating yourself.
All right. Let me go into something different then. You guys are just writing the team off. And I agree, they don't look good, but...
Well, Bill, you said 0. You're writing the team off, Bill. You said you have no confidence.
I ripped the coach off, Ben. I ripped the coach off.
But that that 0 means no confidence. They're not going to win by your standards, Bill.
In the coach, not the quarterback, in the coach.
But you realize it's up to... Belichick's essentially the defensive coordinator, right? So the problem is the defense. Like Brady's average. Brady's average. He's been average. I don't see him all of a sudden becoming dominant again.
Like a heavyweight champ, you don't think he can pull it together for 2 more games?
Two more? You're talking about having to throw it 3 or 4 touchdowns defense is playing?
If
game?
If Philadelphia beats Houston this week, you have the second seed. You're telling me they couldn't win one game at home, and then you don't give them a puncher's chance to win the second game?
Well, as a gambler, I would give them, if they're an underdog, and let's say that happened, they got to the AFC Championship. I would take the Patriots as an underdog if they had to go to play the Chargers or the Chiefs.
Belichick, The thing with Gronkowski on the field was ridiculous. I don't think you tell me you can't clean up the run defense. The last three games they've given up the fourth most in the since the merger.
Yeah, that's bad.
So
it's bad,
he can't get that corrected, obviously. So how good a coach is he?
Okay, but again, I mean, if you're giving up, let's say they play the Chargers and the Chargers are getting, you know, 8-9 runs a carry against the Patriots defense. It doesn't matter. Brady could be throw a masterpiece. He could have like the Mona Lisa performance. It's not going to matter.
No. But you understand the fickleness of a tip ball. Anything can happen. Yeah. How do you think the Giants 1 year 9-7, 1 year 10-6? They ran the table.
I lost a bunch of money on
you're just saying it's impossible. No, it's possible.
Well, it's possible, but realistically, it's not.
No, of course. They're not in the greatest position, but if they get the second seed, they should be able to win one home game. And then, you know what? Again, people could get hurt. Again, this is not exactly the way you want to map it out to win the championship, but the Giants did it twice. Pittsburgh did it once. The Green Bay, the one time Aaron Rodgers, they were 10-6. I mean, anything is possible.
Yeah, but those are anomalies. I thank you, Bill. They are anomalies. Most of the time, it's a one or two seed.
Four of the last 10 years.
All right, but
not anomalies.
All right, listen. If you look at the number one seeds and how they do in the NFL, I got the numbers here. Thank you for the call, Bill. I appreciate it. But if you end up in one of the top two seeds, you're gonna. And the Patriots are. They're gonna need the Texans to lose and the Eagles to play a great game back to back. I mean, I don't know how the Eagles – actually, I do know how the Eagles beat the Rams. They beat the Rams because Jared Goff blew. He was terrible. He was just dreadful in that game. But if you look at the numbers, right, and again, what has happened doesn't guarantee it's going to happen in the future, but it's not particularly encouraging recently as far as the seeds in the NFL and all that and how it turns out. In fact, of the 10 teams to play in the Super Bowl over the last 4 years, here's the number. I had to look it up because I got a lot of crap in front of me. All right, of the 10 teams to play in the Super Bowl, from going back to 2013 to last season, 9 of them were a number one seed in their conference. So therefore, Bill, my point is that is an anomaly. Or if you want to be optimistic, if you want to press your luck here, and say no whammy, no whammy, no whammy, you would argue that what's the law of averages, right, which is a scientific fallacy, but I believe, because I'm not that bright, I believe in the law of averages, which is also known as wishful thinking, right? It's like, I'd like to see them turn things around. Why not? All right, the number, 617-779-7937. Bridget is sleep deprived and she is standing by. 617-779-7937. Also on Twitter, we'll have the reading of the tweets, which is mildly entertaining. We'll get to that coming up here at Ben Maller on Twitter. Time now for the Who Am I game. This is where we pretend to be somebody else in honor of Philip Lindsay, the rookie running back for the Broncos who was undrafted, being named to the Pro Bowl. I am the only undrafted defensive rookie who ever made the Pro Bowl. Again, the Who Am I game, I am the only undrafted defensive rookie who ever made the Pro Bowl. Who am I? The answer, don't call for this, but you can answer it on Twitter. We'll give you the answer. We'll get to that. We will do it next. All right, back to it. Time now for the Who Am I game as we chat the night away here. Under the moon and the stars. Here's the Who Am I game. I am the only undrafted defensive rookie who's ever made the Pro Bowl. We're doing this in honor of Philip Lindsay, who he's a running back for the Broncos, who became the first undrafted offensive player to be selected to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. Again, I'm the only undrafted defensive rookie who's ever made the Pro Bowl. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? Rob, listening to the radio.com app out in Vegas, is going with King Kong Bundy as his answer. Who else do we have here? I can't read that. Let's go. What do we have? We have Danny Bonaducci from Ed in Spokane. That's his answer. Does anyone have the right? I'm looking here. I don't think anybody has the right answer. The correct answer is you got to go old school NFL. You got to go back to the early 80s. Everson Walls. Everson Walls is the correct answer. It is not Darwin Barney, which was guessed by Robbie, the Mariner fan, or Cosmo Kramer from Stinky D, or even Matt Patricia, which was thrown out by Terry. No, the correct answer is Everson Walls, who played several generations ago, but he played with the Cowboys mostly, also played with the Giants. I think he won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and he had a brief tenure with the Cleveland Browns. So that is the answer. And normally, if you're undrafted, you don't play, so it's pretty hard. In my experience, in my life, if you don't actually play as a rookie, it is near impossible to be named to the Pro Bowl. If you're standing on the bench and you're holding a clipboard, it is near impossible to actually end up in a Pro Bowl game. That's generally how that goes. Now, I wanted to change it up a little bit because there's a story out tonight, an NBA story, that I have a feeling will get a lot of play on the show I'm doing later over at Fox, the overnight show that I've got coming up on my all-night journey, the Maller Marathon. But after the Nets game with Brooklyn, or the Lakers game with Brooklyn, rather, there was a lot of chatter about Anthony Davis and all that stuff. Well, there's a quote that came out, I guess actually from the other day, but I just saw the quote that is making the rounds now. And LeBron James, this is going to blow you away. LeBron James said he would be happy to have Anthony Davis play with him on the Lakers. The Lakers played the Pelicans on Friday, and James said having Anthony Davis, the unibrow, as a teammate would be amazing. Okay, that's Captain Obvious is checking in. He said that would be incredible, James said, which is obviously not wrong. That's not wrong. But this is where it gets interesting, because Danny Ainge has been attempting to woo the Pelicans to get rid of Anthony Davis and to send him to Boston. For how many years has this rumor been going around? At least 2 years, if not longer. And Anthony Davis is contractually obligated to the Pelicans next season. He then can opt out of his contract. I believe we talked about this. Was in here last week. I think this came up, but Anthony Davis has 1 year left on his contract. And so here's the counter argument to Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. It would be bad for him from a basketball standpoint. LeBron James is going through the aging process. Now, I know his numbers look great and all that stuff, but I've been standing here rhapsodizing this. If you're a young star in the NBA, and I believe Kevin Durant and his argument. Kevin Durant's argument was, hey, nobody wants to play with LeBron James if you're a superstar, a young superstar, because LeBron sucks all the air out of the room. It's all about LeBron James. That's what it's all about, right? That's the counter-argument. And my position, I agree with him. I agree with him. And if you're Anthony Davis, and if it's all things are equal, you say, well, go to the Celtics. You get rid of everybody except Kyrie Irving. You keep Kyrie, the flat earth guy. You keep Tatum. You've got a big three of Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum as support to Anthony Davis. Now, you're still going to have some of these other guys. You're not going to trade the entire team is not going to go to the Pelicans. But it would make a ton of sense. You could rule the Eastern Conference. Kawhi Leonard's going to be a one-and-done guy in Toronto. He's going to go run off to play for the Clippers. And he's a whimsical guy anyway. So it would make all the sense. And marketing, the NBA, one of the things that has hurt the NBA is the fact that the headliner, there's nobody that has resonated with people watching NBA games on TV and driven ratings. LeBron James is a lightning rod. He is polarizing, and those guys get ratings. People want to watch LeBron James. Well, the entire Eastern Seaboard, you have to stay up till the time that I'm on. You have to stay up for late night, and most people unfortunately don't stay up these nighttime hours. And so the ratings, at least early in the NBA season, the ratings have been down, And it's the 6 degrees of LeBron James. Because LeBron James is playing in L.A., he's not playing games in that early television window on TNT and ESPN. The ratings have gone down. It's the LeBron factor. Now, the question is, can Anthony Davis, if he did go to the Celtics, would he be a guy that would move eyeballs and people would go out of their way to watch Anthony Davis? That's an open question. He hasn't exactly been the most controversial. What's the most controversial guy? What's the most controversial thing Anthony Davis did? He did that spoof where he pretended he was going to cut the unibrow, but that was a commercial. I think that was the most controversial thing that he's done. And then the other thing here, which we have to factor in, which anytime you talk about this, you have the palace intrigue of LeBron James' high school buddy, his buddy from back in the day in high school, who happens to be representing Anthony Davis. So forget Russian collusion, if you're still searching for that. You can search for Agent LeBron collusion to try to sway Anthony Davis to go play for the Lakers. But it does appear to be a two-horse race at this point. Celtics and Lakers. And the Celtics, I'm telling you, I'm not being a shill or anything like that. The Celtics have a competitive advantage. If it just comes down to trading for Anthony Davis and getting him this year at the trade deadline, which is in February, you trade a bunch of draft picks and a bunch of players, and you're guaranteed to have him for 1 year, and you could convince him to stick around long term. All right, real quick, one call here. Let's go to John, who's in Western Mass, and he is up next here on Late Night here on Sports Radio WEEI. John, I hear you talking, John. What's going on?
As for Emerson Walls, that was a Super Bowl. He was the MVP against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's random, John. Yeah, no,
I was listening to your show, and you were talking about Emerson Walls when I turned it on. But
oh, okay, yeah. He's the only undrafted defensive rookie to make the Pro Bowl, so that's why I mentioned him. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and then you had mentioned you thought it was the Giants, but it was the Cowboys where he was MVP of the Super Bowl. He intercepted.
No. But John, we're getting into a spitting match here, but I believe he won a Super Bowl or was in a Super Bowl with the Giants near the end of his career, though. I think I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So, yeah.
I also wanted to talk a little bit on the Patriot haters and the Brady haters. That basically, until New England loses their AFC crown, in the AFC there's no real strong defensive teams other than the Ravens. And we all know defenses are what wins championships.
I've heard that. That's a great catchphrase. Defense wins championships. What are your other catchphrases, John? What are your other favorite sports catchphrases?
It isn't over till it's over.
Oh, there's a good one. It isn't over till it's over. Keep going. Give me another one, John.
I don't know. I wanted to talk. I've been wanting to talk during the day on WEEI, but it's hard to get through because they talk about Brady all the time. And again, everyone, it's like they want to see him fail. You know, most people, especially being in the Massachusetts area, a lot of people dislike the Yankees because they've won 27 World Series, you know? And that goes hand-in-hand with the Patriots because a lot of people dislike them because they don't, you know, most people don't want to see the same team going to the Super Bowl every year, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you, John. I see, I'm different than you. I like, you know, sky is falling. That's a lot of what we do. You're balancing the hope that, whatever, in this case, the Patriots, the hope that the Patriots are going to be good and they're going to win if you're a big-time Patriot fan, and then the reality, the doom and gloom that they're not going to be good. Like, it kind of goes with the territory. But if you're looking for positivity, right, if you're looking, the sky is not falling, you have to be a little pessimistic, do you not? You can't be totally a Pollyanna. I'm not saying you have to have an ulcer over what's gone on with the Patriots and all that, but you have to be realistic at the same time. All right, it is Sports Radio WEEI, and we will press on here, and we'll get into more. We'll actually reference what that guy was just talking about here, the Brady Bunch. We'll get into that, and the haters are out. The people saying he's overwhelmed now all of a sudden, that this is it, the end of the road. We'll get into that, and some even calling for the Patriots to, at the end of the year, part ways, have Tom Brady, encourage him to retire and say goodbye. We'll get to that. We will do it next.